This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
If you were going to die tomorrow, would you say your life was successful? Would you say that you fulfilled the rights of Allah?
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, Mawlana Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin. Ila yawm al-deen wa ba'd. Respected brothers, elders, sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I thought today I'll speak about something which, in all honesty, many of us go through this predicament. Especially when you start kind of practicing, or whilst you are practicing, you know, people always ask you, and you have this dilemma yourself, what is the balance between deen and dunya? And I'm going to tackle this from a couple of dimensions. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to finish this week, but what is your balance between deen and dunya? And normally and often there is a tendency of people going to one extreme or the other extreme. So either you become so into deen that you have no connection with the things around you, or you become so immersed in the dunya that you have no time for the deen. Now, the relationship between the deen and the dunya is like the relationship of the body with the soul. One cannot survive without the other. The dunya is a bridge and a means of reaching the akhirah. And therefore, both are needed. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah." That the dunya is a place where you sow the seed, you harvest the land, and whatever you harvest here, you will get it here, the akhirah. So this is the relationship between the deen and the dunya. They are both intrinsic. They are both needed by human beings. Now, believers are required to ask for their deen and their dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and you all know the dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh Allah, give us in this dunya good, and give us in the akhirah good as well. So give us good in this dunya. We want good in this dunya, and we want good in the akhirah. And if you look into the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines the message of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. He uses exactly the same word. Indeed, for you in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a sublime character. Uswatun hasana, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qina adhaban nar. So, that is what a believer is required to do. Now, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about those who don't believe in Allah? Those whose connection with Allah is not strong. Allah says, they say also, Allah give us. They say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. Oh Allah, give us in the dunya. And Allah says, there is nothing for him or them in the akhirah. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا. We say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا. They say, no, Allah. So they believe in Allah. But they say, oh Allah, only give us in the dunya. And they don't say hasana. This is where we and them differ. Because see, if you have hasana, whatever it is in this dunya, you will be happy. Because Allah will put barakah in it. But if you don't have hasana, you can have the dunya, but you don't have hasana, you will never be happy. So you hit your millions, but there's no hasana. then there is no khayr, there is no barakah in that. You have 10 children, but none of those 10 children are the coolness of your eyes. None of those 10 children are obedient. So Allah has given you dunya, Rabbana atina fid dunya, but Allah hasn't given you hasana. And then you can have one child who is the coolness of your eyes, and that is equivalent to the 10. And this is why, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a believer to achieve hasana and good in everything. So let's look at our ibadah. Ibadah, you would expect. Your worship. How is your worship? How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want your worship to be? A man came into the masjid and he prayed. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam let him finish his prayer, and then he came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Salli fa innaka lam tusalli." Pray, for you have not prayed. So then he goes again and he finishes his prayer, and the Messenger of Allah says, "Salli fa innaka lam tusalli." So he did all the actions, he read what he needed to read, and the Messenger of Allah sent him back. Then he came to pray the third time, and the Messenger of Allah said, "Salli fa innaka lam tusalli." Go and pray, you haven't prayed. So he said, "Messenger of Allah, I know no better than this. Show me how to pray." So the Prophet ﷺ now explains to him how you pray. You stand up, you do your qiraat, you go into ruku, you take your time in ruku, you stand up from ruku, you do sajda, you take your time in sajda, etc. He explains the entire salah to him. So the Prophet ﷺ wanted him to perfect his salah. Now, very interestingly, nowhere in the Quran does Allah tell a believer to pray your prayer. Sallu salatukum. Nowhere does Allah say that. Wherever Allah speaks about salah, He says, aqimus salah, He says, establish the prayer. There's a difference about praying the prayer and establishing the prayer. Totally different. Because aqimus salah means that when you pray, you fulfill all the rites of prayer. You fulfill all the rites of prayer, you pray in that manner. You do your wudu well. I mean, very interesting, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever does wudu, فَأَحْسَنَ wudu'ahu, and then فَأَحْسَنَ, see, hasana, same word, فَأَحْسَنَ wudu'ahu, he does his wudu well. The Messenger of Allah ﷺ says, his sins fall off his body. So Allah, when He wants you to worship Him, Allah doesn't want you to do the routine. Allah wants you to stand in front of Him and concentrate. Allah wants you, when you pray in a manner. When you worship in a manner. When you fast in a manner. When you give zakat. The meaning of zakat is purification. That you give zakat in a way, not only does it purify your wealth, but it purifies you as well. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects in your worship. Allah doesn't want us just to do the routine stuff. Allah wants us, if you're going to pray, then pray in a manner which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is in your worship. What about your dunya? Now you could understand, in your worship Allah wants you to attain excellence. But what about your dunya? What about the work that you do, the menial work, the day-to-day work? How is that? Subhanallah. Allah wants you and I to attain excellence in everything that we do. Everything we do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, listen to this. I mean, what more menial could you get than this? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you sacrifice an animal, make sure that you sacrifice it in an excellent manner. La ilaha illallah. When you sacrifice an animal, make sure that you sacrifice the animal in an excellent way, with itqan. So your knife is not blunt. Your knife is sharp. A man was walking around with a knife in front of the animal that he was about to slaughter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Why are you slaughtering that animal twice?" Meaning, firstly, you're showing him the knife that is going to die at your hands, and then you're going to slaughter it. So even, look, subhanallah, even when you dhabah, when you sacrifice an animal, you are expected to do it in a manner which attains excellence. So what about your day-to-day work? What about your day-to-day work? What about the tarbiyah of your children? What about the work that you, many of you have just come from now? What about the students who are studying? No, Allah expects us to attain top. A top. The ulama says that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba, he said, when you ask for Jannah, what kind of Jannah are you meant to ask for? What kind of Jannah? Firdaus. Why Firdaus? Because the Messenger of Allah was telling the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that second best isn't good enough. That when you attain and when you aspire, because believers are meant to be people who aspire, that second best isn't good enough. Unfortunately, we see what the reality around us, you know, not second best, anything will do for us. Look at the people the Messenger of Allah came from. The vast majority of them were unlettered. Vast majority. Only a handful of people in Makkah could read and write. The first revelation that we had was Iqra. Inspiring these people. You know, start attaining. One day the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the house of Umm Haram. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to sleep. And after a while the Messenger of Allah wakes up. And he's smiling. So Umm Haram radiallahu anha said, "O Messenger of Allah, what's making you smile?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I just woke up from a dream that I saw my companion, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They were going in jihad. And they're sitting on these large ships, like kings sitting on their thrones." And she said, "O Messenger of Allah, make a dua that I am from amongst them." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a dua. Then he went back to sleep and he woke up again and he's smiling again. And Umm Haram radiallahu anha says, "O Messenger of Allah, may my mother and my father be sacrificed for you. What's making you smile?" He said, "I saw another dream that my companions are going in jihad. And they're sitting on large ships like kings on thrones." She said, "O Messenger of Allah, make dua that Allah makes me from amongst them." The Prophet ﷺ said, "You are from the first batch." The Prophet ﷺ passes away. No naval expedition. Abu Bakr's time. No naval expedition. Umar ibn Khattab's over 10 years, no naval expedition. Come Uthman's time, Muawiyah convinces him that let's take a navy to Cyprus. So Uthman agrees. So he sends this navy. And in this naval expedition is no other than Umm Haram, radiallahu anha. So she reaches Cyprus. She's riding a horse and the horse gets startled. And she falls off the horse and she passes away. Until today, her grave in Cyprus is a dalil and a proof on the prophecy of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until today, Umm Haram's grave is in Cyprus. But what was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What was he showing the Sahaba radiallahu anhum? What was he showing them? He was showing them aspirations. In his time, there was no naval expeditions. Nor in the time of Abu Bakr, nor in the time of Umar, only in the time of Uthman. But what did he give the Sahaba? He said, no. He's giving a concept that they had no knowledge about. That a day will come, listen, you need to aspire to have naval expeditions. So he was giving them a vision. And what happened? A day came that the Muslims had the best navy in the world. Why? They were inspired by a man who had never rowed on a ship. Never sailed a ship. Never sat on a ship. But he gave them goals. And this is why as believers, you know, we need to really be people who aspire. You need to have aspirations for yourself. You need to have aspirations for your children. Because if you have no aspirations for yourself, then you will have no aspiration for your children. You will have no aspiration for your children. If you're not motivated, then your children, if you are always second best, if you are always mashallah, let it go, you know, then you will do nothing for your children. You wake up at 11 o'clock every day. And then you say, son, you need to go to the best school. Son, you need to go to the best madrasa. Son, you need to get a good education. You are a bum yourself. So if you want, as believers, we are meant to be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined this ummah. What does he say? He says, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. La ilaha illallah. Allah says, you are the best of ummah, taken out for the benefit of humanity. That humanity must see your khair. Humanity must see your good. Best, Allah says best, but when? When you are best yourself. When you are the people who aspire. When you are people who second best is not good enough. And brothers, wallahi, for that, listen, for that, you will have to give up some of the dunya. That means if you are going to make 20 million, you might have to make 15 million. You know, if you're going to make 200,000, but you have to do it for your children. You have to do it for your communities. But more important, you need to do it for your akhirah. For morning to evening, we run after the dunya. We got no time for Allah. We got no time for our wife. We got no time for our parents. We got no time for our children. We got no time for our brothers and sisters. And then we sit, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And our entire actions are the other actions. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. Oh Allah, give us only in this dunya. Doesn't matter if it's hasana. Doesn't matter what it's like. You know, wallahi. You know, I have seen many, many, many people who are rich, but in reality are poor. There are many people who are rich, wealth-wise, but wallahi, they are poor. They have enough money to survive, but they're always waiting for to make the next 1,000, the 2,000, the 10,000, the 100,000, the million. He's got millions, and he's still hungry for the next million. Wallahi, this man's a faqir. He's a faqir. Everybody else sees him as a rich person, but he's a faqir. I'll tell you why he's a faqir. Because he's got no time for his family. He's got no time for his children. He's got no time for Allah. Then wallahi, this man's a faqir. It's only the fact that you and I don't know he's a faqir because we look at his car. But in his life, in his soul, he's a faqir. And this is why Allah says, وَمَنْ زُحْزِعَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازُ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Allah says, the one who has been removed from the fire and entered into Jannah, فَقَدْ فَازُ. He is the successful one. Success, you want success, brothers and sisters? What's your definition of success? Tell me now. Let me ask you a question. If you were going to die tomorrow, would you say your life was successful? Would you say that you fulfilled the rights of Allah, the rights of your parents, the rights of your brothers and sisters, the rights of your children, the rights of your deen? Would you be happy to leave tomorrow? No, but we're all caught up in the rat race. We're all caught up in the rat race. Firstly, we don't attain excellence in what we do, because if you did it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're a lawyer, you work in the council, you're a doctor, and you want to serve humanity as well as getting paid. Alhamdulillah, nurun ala nur. But very rarely is that the case. Our dunya encompasses us so much that you end up a faqir. You end up a faqir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. After speaking about success, Allah says, you know this dunya around you, you know your cars, your homes, etc. They are only provisions, they are goods of deception. Now let me explain what deception means. You know, I just mentioned to you that person who's a faqir, although he's got millions, that's deception. That's deception. Have you ever been to sleep and woken up and had a nightmare? And in that nightmare, it was terrible. You were being beaten. You lost what you had. For that period of time, whilst you were asleep, you and I believe that was a reality. Sahih? Now, you had a dream, a beautiful dream, that you're dreaming and you got the most largest house, and you're happy, and you open your curtain and you look outside and you see your Ferrari, and you look around and you look at your wife and the most beautiful wife, your dream woman or your dream man, if you're a woman. Keeping it halal. And then you wake up. And you get out of your bed and you open your curtain and you realize you're still in Aston. And you look down and you see your Micra. And then you hear your wife shouting from the kitchen, I told you to buy bread and milk last night. Now the kids don't have anything for school. See, you realize that hour, 2 hours you were having that dream was a deception. You were deluded. Allah says, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. The day your eyes and my eyes closed, wallahi, you will realize that this dunya was a deception. Like that nightmare you had was a deception. Like that Ferrari was a deception. And this is why Ali radiallahu anhu said, "An-nasu nayamun." People are actually really sleeping. But only when they die will their eyes really open. You think you're awake. You and I are sleepwalking. You know when your eyes close in the dunya, they open in the akhirah. They open in the akhirah, and then they never ever close again. And this is why you have two types of eyes. You have these eyes and you have these eyes. And Allah says in the Quran, many people, their eyes of their heart are closed, are blind. And this is why, brothers, coming back to the fact, I am saying, listen, wallahi, we need people to attain the highest. If you got a restaurant, make a good restaurant. If you're a taxi driver, you know, be a good taxi driver that people can see your akhlaq. Don't take them the long route. If you're a builder, be a good builder. Because this is what the Messenger of Allah told us. Have itqan in whatever you do. Have itqan in whatever you do. If you earn. But don't allow the dunya to take over your life. How can you be a rich person and still not have the love of the dunya? Easy. The ulama said, how? You can be a multi-millionaire but still not be a person of the dunya. Yes, because the dunya is in your hands, it's not in your heart. The dunya doesn't control you, you control the dunya. And let me explain to you the importance of working. So just in case you think working is not important for my talk. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you are sowing a seed, you're sowing a seed, and Israfil blows the trumpet, and there will be no event which will be more daunting and haunting than Israfil blowing the trumpet. The dunya will fall apart. Even the wild animals would huddle up. The woman who is pregnant will lose her load. The woman who's feeding a child will drop her child. The stars in the heavens will fall out. The sun will be wrapped up like this. The Prophet Sallallahu said, if all this is happening around you, and you are sowing a seed, and you are not going to see the fruits of that seed because the dunya is going to finish and you're going to die, the Prophet Sallallahu said, still finish and complete sowing that seed. The ulama say, what does this narration mean? They say the Prophet Sallallahu was emphasizing takreem ul-amal, the virtue of doing work. The virtue of working. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who work for His sake. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to have a balance between our deen and dunya. And may Allah give us good in this dunya. And may Allah give us good in the akhirah. Barakallahu feek.